This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk, and I've been having a continuing conversation with Sir Robin Knox-Johnson. He is in Portsmouth, Hampshire, England, and of course I am here in the San Francisco Bay Area in California, the United States, and we have been discussing the time at sea and also gardening.
You were actively involved in sailing and ocean voyaging.
Yeah, you know, I went to sea when I was 17 and a half in the Merchant Marine, and we had the most fantastic training. I mean, bear in mind, in those days, Britain had 18% of all merchant ships, and we had a really good system set up for it. And I stayed at sea for the next 12 years, and then the trip around the world came up, and I did that. But after I'd done it, the whole system was changing, and I didn't like the way it was going. So I left the sea, and I built a marina on the Hamble with a bunch of friends, and, you know, I got into yachting, if you like. But, you know, it was time to change. Things were changing. The British Merchant Marine was collapsing, and it wasn't a good time to be there because you're going to be made redundant. So I probably picked the right time to get out. But after that, you know, I've raced. I was in business, obviously, and I went to Oxford Business School. I still like my racing, so I kept on racing. I won the Round Britain race twice. I was in the British Admirals Cup team. The Whitbread race, I beat the Frenchman Tarbury in both legs I skippered. And then I went on to do other things like winning the multi-hull world championship. You know, I was just racing because I loved racing. And my poor wife used to put up with it. But occasionally she got me home and she'd say, the garden needs sorting out. And you say, reluctantly, okay, I better do this.
Do you like gardening?
Actually, I love gardening. There's nothing better to me than watching spring when everything's starting to grow and what you planted is coming up and looking at it. I love gardening. I live in Portsmouth. We're fairly crammed in here. It's a city, 200,000 people, and I've only got a yard, really, with about 3 square meters of garden. But I've got plants in there which I love and I nurture. And what I'd really like is a lot more space to grow a lot more plants.
Thank you, Sir Robin, for that lovely chat. This past weekend, I took a tour of the San Francisco Bay in my sailboat Sandpiper and spotted 3 signal flags, CG over 1, on the port side of the San Francisco Yacht Club's mast. Those familiar with maritime history know that this configuration states, "I will stand by to assist you." The San Francisco Maritime Association hopes that yacht clubs around the world might also fly these flags. I will stand by to assist you. That is a great message. This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk.
Thank you very much for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is 9:40 on a Tuesday. And by the way, it is deuces wild here. Tuesday, 2/22/22. And we have Karen Lyle with us. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great, Rick.
Good to have you in studio. Once again, SailSportTalk.com brings this segment to you. And we're also happy to have on the line the project director and co-founder of Call of the Sea, Alan Olson. Alan, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit more about what Call of the Sea is, please.
Call of the Sea is a nonprofit. It was founded in 1984 to take young people and adults out and to give them experience on a sailing ship and how that all works. We began taking young folks out from Log Cabin, which is a reform school for San Francisco youth, and we were working with the police department, and we started taking their group out. It was very very rewarding to see them come on board, and they're kind of tough guys, you know, but they realized that they weren't in their right, they were in a different turf, and they paid attention. And we always were clear, we never yelled at them, we just made it clear what our expectations were. And it was amazing to see over a 5-day period how much they changed. So that really inspired us to continue on to look at this as a long-range program.
So, Alan, you have major experience not only sailing tens of thousands of miles on the ocean on a tall ship, but actually building tall ships. And what was the thing that got you started in the very beginning to building your own boat? Because you built a boat and then sailed on it.
Well, I lived up in Minnesota, in the Twin Cities, and I always had these ideas of going off into the sunset and looking at the world a little bit more and to try to understand more about it before I settled in, got married, got a job and all that, and it looked like boring. So I got this idea of going out to sea by seeing a TV called Bold Adventures, and it was the Six Magellans, and they had bought themselves a schooner. And six young men, and they sailed around the world. And I thought, that's the best thing I could think to do with my life. So I started out trying to make enough money to buy a schooner. That wasn't going to work. I was 20. And then I found that I could build a catamaran for much less money in my backyard. So I bought the plans and built that and put it in the Mississippi River and when I was 22, and sailed down into Florida, and then on into the Caribbean. So that's got me started. And that particular boat, we had a divorce, and the boat went in another direction, and I went to California, flew to California. I wanted to sail there, but I built another boat, and that was the Stonewich, which was a very successful boat. It was a brigantine, small, compared to the Matthew Turner that we built in the last few years. So those are some of the things. I did have another schooner that we took from here all the way to China, down to the Pacific Islands and up into Guam and all the way into Japan and then into China, Shanghai. And from there, we went back to Japan and then up around the Aleutians Islands and to Alaska and back down. That was a one-year trip. And it was pretty exciting. I had many thousands of miles. So those are some of the things I've done. But my real interest right now is to have opportunities for young people and old to experience what it means to be on a tall ship and on the ocean. And to kind of, so many young people have no association, particularly in the Bay. They, you know, they only... There's a million kids in school in the Bay Area, throughout the Bay Area, and only 4% of them have ever been out on the Bay. So that's a very small number. And until they actually go out on the Bay and they become part of it, they won't really have a very good sense of it. It'll be just something else. It won't be anything they know about. So we're trying to get as many young people out on the Bay, along the coast, and out on voyaging to Mexico, voyaging to Hawaii, voyaging to, who knows, Pacific Islands in the future. But right now we're starting out working in the Bay and along the coast.
When I think about a 22-year-old building his own boat, I would think a canoe tops. You built a 40-foot catamaran down the Mississippi River. Can you tell us? I mean, I think about where there are locks, where there are brigands, pirates. I mean, how do you become a boat ride at 22? And tell us a little bit more about that adventure down the mighty Miss.
Well, it was quite an adventure. We did not get the rigging done. We did not have the resources at the time, and it was getting late in the season, November. And so we figured, well, let's just take the boat down by motor, and we'll take, you know, motor down. We had a motor on there, and then we'll take care of the rigging when we get down to Florida. And that trip down was interesting because we left a little late sometime in November, and we'd go down a couple of locks, and then they'd say, you're glad you're here because the lock just north froze up. So we were on a mission to get down St. Louis where there's no locks anymore, and we made it. We just made it, and we went on into kept going down. We went to... New Orleans was the first of the year, so all kinds of fireworks and what have you. We ended up in Pensacola. We had trouble with the motor there, and we said, well, let's just settle out here. We had a nice place to stay there, and I got a job working on boats. And we stayed there for almost 2 years, year and a half, getting the boat ready, getting everything ready to head out sailing. So we did go into the Caribbean. That was great. trip, but we were chased back into Miami by a hurricane. And so we got back just in time and found a place to tie up our boat safely. And there, a lot of other things, yeah.
Now sailing along the Pacific coast, which is actually no small feat because that can be some pretty rough water at times. What are some of the experiences that you've had personally on a boat that put you in peril or where you might have been concerned about, actually ever making it to the next destination that you had?
Well, I always figured we'd make it to the next destination. I knew that there could be things that come up, and we did have, big storms and, lots of big waves, and the boats that where I was traveling in were always good boats. They were well-founded. They could take what the ocean put out to them, up to a point. And fortunately, we never reached that point. We got into numerous close calls with big waves and things like that. But somehow, nothing other than being shipwrecked in that's another story, being shipwrecked in Mexico on an uncharted rock off the coast by a quarter of a mile. And that was a different story, but nobody was hurt. And it was a long story there that I won't go into. But so those are some of the things that have happened. Never had anybody seriously hurt on the boat, or when we build our ship, we've been very lucky on that area.
Alan Olson is with us from Call of the Sea. When you did sail into Shanghai, you were the first American yacht in 50 years. I mean, were there some army guns pointed at you there?
No, they were actually quite friendly. We went in. We didn't know how to get in. We got there, and it was kind of foggy, and I said, and it just wasn't right to go in at that time, so we anchored off the coast there and waited till the fog cleared, and we just didn't know how to go in. We just said, well, look at all those boats. Let's just follow those boats. So they were expecting us. And so we got in there, and then I did call in, and they sent a boat out and told us where to tie up and hang out there for a bit, which is a rough place where we tied up. But we managed. And they put a pilot on board, and then we went further up the river, and Shanghai River, we went further up that, and they had a place for us to stay. Everything was cool. We met with them the next day, and it was kind of like in a movie. So we went into this horrible room with awful lighting, nothing on it at all, and here was this. It was the Chinese. Military actually talking to us about this and that, and something about how much it was going to cost to stay, and because they had to have 24-hour watch on our boat and this and that, it was going to cost us all this money. And I said, well, we can't afford that, we're going to leave. And they said, well wait a minute, let's talk about this tomorrow morning at such and such a hotel. We want to treat you to a breakfast and this and that. So we showed up there and talked to them, and we made a deal. $100 a day, no charge on the first day or the last day, so it was like $1,000, and I could handle that. And it was real fun. They were very nice to us. They were kind to us. One thing I knew not to mention again was don't talk about Tibet, because I'm a fan, I'm a follower of the, I'm very interested in Tibetan Buddhism. So I realized that was a no-no conversation. And we all got along fine. It was nice. They were very, very, very kind to us.
Well, I should mention, Alan, that you are the rear commodore this year for the San Francisco fleet of the International Yachting Fellowship of Rotarians. Thank you. I being the commodore, asked you if you would serve in that role for this year. Tell us a little bit about, how and if Rotary has ever intersected with your shipbuilding world.
Well, yes, I've been a Rotarian for now about 8 years, I guess, 10 years maybe it is. They've always been very supportive of what we've done. We have they've sponsored a lot of youth going on and taken out groups of Rotarians. And So they've been supportive of it, but this is just, mission is much broader, of course, for Rotary than sailboats. But we have been very fortunate to be have had help with them along the way.
There he is, Alan Olson at Call of the Sea. For more information, how do we find out about it, Alan?
Oh, good thing to ask, because go to callofthesea.com. You can find out how you can sail on the Matthew Turner or on Seaward, our schooner. We have public sails, community sails, we call them. They usually have some kind of a theme. You'll learn about things about the bay. You'll learn about sailing. You can grab a rope, and they'll show you how to haul on it or what to do, steer the boat. So you get very involved with the operation of the boat, and there's usually docents aboard who can explain things. So it's quite an educational and fascinating sail. So if you want to be interested, if you want to maybe find out more about what's going on and who we are and what we've done, go to callofthesea.org.
All right. Thank you, Alan. And Karen, good to see you. SailSportTalk.com for all the information, right?
Thank you so much. And, you know, the first time that I went to the Farallons and to Drake's Bay was on a Call of the Sea boat called Seaward, which is an 85-foot schooner.
Wow. And, that's a big boat.
Yeah. Sometime we'll talk about that stuff.
All right. And we can talk about Oklahoma Boomer Schooner. You know that song? Where they come out in the covered wagon, Boomer Schooner. It's for another day.
The association.
Karen Lyle. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.